We're rolling.
Excellent. Okay. Last week, we were looking, as you may recall, at the baptism John was performing at the River Jordan. And we were looking at that from the point of view of Mark. And one of the things we saw, as you may remember, is that John said, "I am not fit to untie the sandals of the one who is Jesus." And we saw that fitness has to do with being able to do what Jesus asks you to do, being fit to do it. And the unworthiness, or not the unworthiness, but the unfitness to untie his sandals means that you receive from Jesus the ability to do what he wants you to do. And you remember, sandals were something that you made because there were no shoe stores of any kind around in those days, and they represented your character and your skill, because you made them by yourself, usually. And that's what they were. So not being fit to untie those sandals means there's something you need to receive from that one. And you remember, John is described by Jesus as the greatest born among women. So here's the greatest of all, not fit to just on his own power run after the activities of the kingdom, but needs the ability from Jesus to do that. So that's, we saw that last week, looking at the sandals of Jesus, if you will, through the eyes of Mark. Now, this morning, we look at it through the eyes of John. And in the eyes of John, what we have is what usually most of us think of when we think about this verse. Not too often, probably, but when you do, is he says, John says, "I am not worthy to unloosen the thong of his sandals." Sometimes you'll see unworthy in Mark and the other Gospels, but the Greek word is different. There's a different Greek word Mark uses from the one John uses, and John specifically chooses to use unworthy, whereas Mark would specifically choose to use unfit. He uses unworthy because there is a comparison of what you might call character. There's no character assassination, but there is a character that we receive from Jesus, as well as an empowerment to do things. So what we have here is Mark is talking about the kingdom of God and how we extend the kingdom, which is the duty of all Christians, our prayer book says, to work, pray, and give for the extension of the kingdom. So it's that fitness to do that that we receive from Jesus. John is talking about the covenant of God. So we have the covenant and the kingdom here in both of these depictions of the sandals. And it's the covenant of God in which we receive our identity. So Mark is talking about our power, and John is talking about our identity. And it's our identity in Christ, which we receive from the covenant that God makes with us. In other words, God comes running after us, looking for us, chasing us down, always there. We can go nowhere to get away from him. Even the depths of hell, we will not be able to get away from God, because he wants to get our attention, draw us close, and say, "You are my child, and in you I am very well pleased." And from that we get our identity. And that's how that works. It is from our identity that we grow in the covenant. And in growing in the covenant, we grow in the character of Jesus. So his character, being absolutely excellent in every way, absolutely pure, if you will, whose motive is to love unconditionally, that character begins growing in us, and our character is transformed into being like his. So here we have both sandals, if you will, Mark and John, and with both sandals, we get the character of Jesus and the competency of Jesus, all we receive from him. symbolized in his sandals that he made. What he makes is what he gives us. And that's how we go ahead in the Christian life and run with that. Now, I want to point out a bit today of how that works for you and me from the idea of the covenant and how that covenant identity begins affecting our lives directly, our everyday moment-by-moment life, very directly. So you'll notice in the gospel reading there that John says, there is one among you you do not know. Maybe he said it a bit differently. Someone moved my page here. There we go. Among you stands one whom you do not know. That's the baseline right there. That's the foundation. And everything we think, do, or say in the Christian life comes from knowing him, knowing Jesus, knowing him as he is. I kind of don't like knowing him personally or having him as your personal savior. That can be a helpful way of describing it, but it's just so much broader than that, so much wider. The love of Jesus goes far beyond just me personally, you and I personally. And so we come into that as we know him, we come into that tremendous depth of the love of God. And in knowing him, we begin to hear the sound of his voice in whatever way you hear it. Could be any kind of way, any way at all. But you begin to know that's something from him. And you begin to hear him call you his child. You begin to know that you belong to him. And for some of us, that's a very long journey. But every journey is short when it brings you home. When it brings you to the place you belong, that you were created to be. Every journey is what it is, unless it's bringing you home. And when you're home, you hear the voice of God. You hear him welcome you. It's like the father running after the prodigal son. All these kinds of things can be something that we experience as we come to know him, as we move towards him. Even moving towards him, we receive that desire from him first. We love him because he first loved us. That is all the covenant. All of that is the covenant. And every desire of God and everything that God is able to do that he asks you to do comes from that first. And a lot of people will trip over that idea because it says, I am not worthy. I am unworthy to loosen the thong of his sandals. Now, I want to give you something that may be helpful about that. Because a lot of people will see that, they'll see those words and they'll read, I am worthless to undo the thong of his sandals. And God never says you're worthless. When he calls you, when he tells you you're his child, he is saying you are filled with infinite worth. And what may be happening is that you may not live up fully to the worth that you are. That you possess. And so that is what unworthiness would be. There's just a little more to go for your full potential. That is a very different thing, an entirely different category from being worthless, which assumes you have no worth of any kind at all. And God never says that. Never once says that. In fact, what he says is by my covenant with you, by what I provide for you, by the unconditional love that I have for you, I will fill you to overflowing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your worth will rise in your own eyes because of my unconditional love for you. That's what it means to be unworthy. it means that there's transformation of our character that Jesus absolutely wants to see happen and will provide in every way for us to live and to walk in. It's very powerful. Very powerful. It is these two things, the covenant and the kingdom, that enable us to live the Christian life. And it is receiving that power and that ability from Him that enable us to do that, to do what He's called us to do. And it would be not unusual, not at all unusual for any one of us, once we sense a call of God, once we sense that God is drawing near, to say, well, I'm unworthy of this. Which if you mean I haven't lived up to this, then that's right. If you mean I'm not worth anything like this, then you would not be right. Because Jesus gave His life blood for you because of your worth. Now, what we want to do is to be in the position to receive that, in the position to move into places of our worthiness that comes from Jesus that we may have never gone to before. We want to be in the place where we are taking steps for the kingdom, taking steps in our relationships that may be entirely new, but you know God is doing that. And sometimes that's called obedience. Now, I know obedience for many people is not a happy word because, well, you can fill in that you're blank, but for a lot of people, obedience means if I don't measure up to what God wants, then I'm going to hell. And I don't want anything to do with a God like that. That's often what's in our minds about obedience. However, we have seen that our relationship with God comes from the covenant, and the covenant is Him coming after us, reaching after us, running after us, where we get our identity. And obedience, as we've looked at before from time to time, is simply this. It is acting in a way that is consistent with our identity. It is acting in a way that shows who you are. It is acting in a way that says, I am the child of God. It is acting in a way that says, I have a Father who says, I am worth an infinite amount. I am called by His name. It is acting in a way that reflects His unconditional love. By His power, by His ability that He gives to me, I am able to do that. I'm able to be obedient like that. In other words, you don't work your way into the love of God. You work because you have the love of God. You don't love the unlovable in hopes that God will keep loving you. You love the unlovable because you have the love of God first. All right. I want to know if you have any questions about that. If you don't, that's okay. You still have infinite worth. Everyone except Doug, of course, because that'd be too theological. I wouldn't know the answer, right? By the way, your most pressing pastoral problems and thorniest theological questions, Doug is here and he'd be happy to. All right. This is what I'm going to do this morning with you. If you're letting this love of God sink in a little more, and you're beginning to have a desire to hear His voice more completely and more regularly, and you're starting to think, well, maybe there is a new step for me to take or something that I've never done that God's asked me to do, and I just haven't done it. Sometimes that resistance is not because you are hard-headed. I'm not saying you're not hard-headed. I'm just saying that resistance may not be because you're hard-headed. the resistance may be, as it is with many, many people, some resentment, something unresolved, something that didn't go well, some offense that came to you that needs to be released more completely. And sometimes when that's there, there's a wall that we cannot break through on our own. And we need the one whose sandals we are not worthy to untie, to come and break the wall by his power, so that the release of his power will take us to the place he's asked us to go. You may even be right now be thinking of something in your own life where there's some resentment, something you're holding on to. And that would be a wall that Jesus wants to make into a door. And when you walk through that door, you've walked into the next place of new life. Sometimes in our relationships or even in our view of the church, what we see of the church, we resist what God may be prompting us to because of there is a resentment about something else or a grief that hasn't been let go. And it will only take his power to do it. We can't do it on our own. When that is released, then from those who believe will flow streams of living water. So what I'd like to do now is lead us in a few steps of prayer so that you would be able this morning to release resentment around whatever issue it may be. And then step into that new place. And the first place you step into that new place will be the exchange of the peace of the Lord throughout this community. And then the second step will be coming to his table, the table of the redemption of the entire world. And you'll be stepping into those places in a new way. So what I'm going to do is just lead us through these steps. One is that you would picture yourself as being unconditionally loved, a place of unconditional love. You just picture that. If you can't, ask God to show you. He's very good at that, and we'll give that to you. Then the second is whatever occasion, incident, offense, grief that is still there, to just name that. And in naming that, what you would have done is identified the resentment. And resentment is simply this. It is a demand that the past would have been different. You're holding on to a demand that the past would have been different. And when you release the resentment, it's just release, letting go of that demand so you can move into the new future. That's it. It's fairly simple. Now, that doesn't cover everything. It doesn't bring you to instant maturity and success. It just opens a door where there was a wall. And that door is for the power of the kingdom to flow through you. So let's take a moment and do that. Together, you just silently, and I'll lead us in prayer through those steps for a moment or two right now. And then we'll move on to prayer and peace and the table of the Lord. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, that you would right now watch over us. Reveal yourself among us. Move within us. If you would just get that picture or hold on to that idea that you are loved unconditionally, that you are right now in unconditional love. As you see yourself or remember yourself from that, just remember, you will never be separated from that unconditional love. Now, if you would identify what may be causing you some unforgiveness or grief or resentment, or whatever the Lord is bringing to mind right now, now, as you do that, if you would identify what's the demand you have about that incident, what do you think never should have happened but did? Now, if you would, in your own heart and soul, turn that demand into a preference, what would you have preferred to have happened? What would you prefer to happen if a similar situation comes up in the future? As the light of God shines on that, just if you can call to mind, what is it that you value about that preference? Now, what I want us to do is to release that. If it's a person, if you would just within your own heart say, I prefer that you would have, and then state that preference. If it's a circumstance, just say, I prefer it would have been like this, and fill in that blank. And now I release you from my demand that the past would have been different. As you release that, begin to imagine the future where you are free from the weight of that demand. You're free from what that did as you carried it around. The future that opens up without that weight on your soul. Even the experience of God at the table this morning without that weight on your soul. Two more questions. What is God telling you about that? What step is God empowering you to take about what He's told you? Lord Jesus, You are King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And as You have come seeking after us, so we turn our hearts to You. And that we would follow You now all the days of our life for the glory of Your name. Amen. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for following along with that. If you would like, I would love to talk with you about that sometime soon. If you felt you needed to go more deeply with that, I would love to go with that with you more deeply as well. Whatever. Or if you just want to, as Mary, treasure that in your own heart, that is also excellent. Let's stand.